Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to say good morning to you. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just a few miles outside of Boone on Baird's Creek Road. And we appreciate the church and the ministry that they have here supporting and bringing the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And so we thank you for listening in today. We'd like to say good morning to you and to all of our listeners. Good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio this morning. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. Also, those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia. And also those listening in on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it's a blessing to have the opportunity to be on the different radio stations, and we hope that each and every one that listens in gets a blessing out of it and gets some help. I want to make just a quick announcement concerning our upcoming missions conference at Mount Lebanon, and this is going to be beginning this next Sunday, Sunday morning, where we are going to start. And if you are in the area, if you don't have a home church, we'd love for you to come and be with us. We realize people have their home churches, and we certainly encourage you to go there and to be faithful. Certainly not trying to drag anybody off or anything like that. But, you know, if you don't have service on Sunday night, we'd love for you to come and be with us Sunday night at 6 p.m. or Monday through Wednesday night at 7 p.m. A missions conference. Somebody asks sometimes, well, what does your church do? Well, we do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what every church, every individual Christian is called to do. We're called to preach the gospel, to give forth the message of salvation locally, nationally, globally. That's what missions is. It's getting the gospel out. Preaching the gospel, baptizing converts, starting churches. That's what missions is. And a missions conference will help your church. This is exciting. I said Sunday morning, this is what the Lord is surely excited about, missions, because the greatest missionary in all the world was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to this world. He came the greatest distance. He paid the greatest price, and that's that he died upon the cross for our sins. And so We want to invite you to come be with us Monday through Wednesday, 7 p.m. That's the 9th through the 12th. Brother Greg Thompson from the Midway Baptist Church in Butler, Tennessee, is going to be with us during the missions conference, and we're looking forward to that. I'd like to invite especially the pastors. Maybe you have never had a missions conference in your church. I'd love to invite you to come be with us, see what it's all about. We're going to have visiting missionaries there. We're going to have a family to the military in Italy. We're going to have two different missionaries that are missionaries to the Jewish people, and then we're going to have another missionary on Wednesday night. He's from Africa. So we're just excited about what the Lord's going to do during the missions conference. Pray for us that God would meet with us, and we'll just get right into the radio broadcast today. And you know, if you've listened in any at all in the past, what, no, 3 months?
Right around three months.
I don't even know. I've lost count. But all summer long, we've been dealing with Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. And today I want to just sort of summarize that and sort of close down that little study we've been doing. I don't know if you could call that a little study. It's a big study. I preached at the church on Wednesday night 10 messages, but on the radio it's taken a little bit longer to get through all of that. And so we're just going to summarize, finish up, and that's been one of the most interesting studies that I've done in the whole 20 years that I've been preaching the Word of God. And so it's been very interesting to me, and it's really opened my eyes and helped me see things as they are, see things that is happening in the world, and ask the question, you know, is this the hand of God? Is this God trying to get us to set up, pay attention, wake up, turn back to Him. And somebody said to me the other day, I was talking to on the phone, they said, hey, I listened to that message you had on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, about 9/11. I said, which one? There's 10 messages on Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday mornings I've dealt with it. Last year I preached a message on 9/11 anniversary. I preached on 9/11, the turning point. And so I've dealt with this, studied in this. It's very interesting. If you're interested, if you'd like to go and hear all the messages preached at the church, they're a little bit different because I have a little bit longer, take a little bit more time, go into in depth just a little bit more. You can always go to our church website, MountLebanonBC.org, and just you'll see up there at the top sermons, and you click on sermons, and you can find Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, part 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's 10 of them there. So I wanted you to know about that. But we're going to move on after today. You know, we took time to do that, and over the summer there's been a lot of things going on that I have not been able to talk about, some I wanted to talk about, but just have not had the time to do that. But the whole point of our study in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, if you're newly listening in today, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. The verse says over there, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And what we saw there historically, from a historic biblical context, is that there's the nation of Israel. God sends the prophet of Isaiah early on, many, many years before the Babylonian captivity. But Isaiah begins prophesying, and he begins telling the nation of Israel, you'd better wake up, you'd better turn back to God, or it's going to be too late. And so there's a Assyrian invasion. There is a, it's called in, for example, out of Haley's Bible Handbook. This is written in the late 1800s, and where he talks about what historically took place, it's called the Galilean Captivity. It's not as big as the Babylonian captivity, and it happened years before the Babylonian captivity that most everybody that knows anything about the Bible would be familiar with. But there was this mini invasion, this breaking down of the wall, this carrying away of by the king of Assyria. And so this was a warning from God. Well, the warning, they didn't heed the warning. They didn't listen. They just continued on. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. They just continue right on. They pay no attention to the Lord. They do not listen to the message of judgment. And of course, they are finally, Jerusalem is destroyed. They're carried away into Babylon. And there's a destruction of the nation of Israel. And so they did not heed the warning judgment of God, and it continued on into a final judgment. And we made many parallel comparisons between Israel and America, talked about things in particular. We went on, talked about when the judgment of God comes upon a nation. Ezekiel chapter 16 talks about my four sore judgments, the sword, the famine, the pestilence it talks about. And so this is the direction that our nation is headed in. But we are like, there's a verse over in Psalms chapter number 74 and verse number 9 that says, we see not our signs. And God in His mercy trying to warn a nation. You know, either you believe that God is active in our affairs today, or that God is an absentee God. He really doesn't do anything, say anything, have anything to do with our lives. But I don't believe that. I believe that there's a loving God in heaven that does care what we do and how we do, and tries to get us to do right, to live right, to do like we ought to do. And so you either believe in that or not, but I do believe God is working in our affairs today. But we are like the nation of Israel. We see not our signs. Now, I wanted to talk about this a little bit last week and just didn't have time to do that. But last week, August 29th, to be exact, Hurricane Isaac, of course, strikes the Gulf Coast Some mention this. You may know it, you may not, but this was exactly 7 years after Katrina, after Hurricane Katrina, August 29th, 2005, exactly 7 years later. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, if you care anything about, you know, what things mean, 7 years is significant in the Bible. Seven is God's number of completeness. Well, anyway, this happened 7 years after Hurricane Katrina. Now, some things I was paying attention to and noticing before Isaac, I said Katrina, but I meant Isaac, before Hurricane Isaac became a hurricane, of course, it was a tropical storm, and at first it was headed towards Tampa, Florida. The GOP convention was getting ready to start there. Samuel Jackson, he is a actor, and you may have heard what he said about Tropical Storm Isaac. And when it was decided that it's not going to hit Tampa, it's going to go on into the Gulf Coast, Samuel Jackson said, and I'm not going to repeat the profanities that he said, but I'll just try to quote as much as I can so you'll get the gist of it. But here's a man, he's an actor, he has influence, people know who he is. He says, "This is unfair, blank, GOP spared by Isaac." And then he said, "New Orleans, Louisiana, probably blank." What he meant there, probably going to get hit again. He said, "Not understanding God's plan." It's hard for me to understand somebody cursing and talking about God's plan in the same sentence, but that seems to be common with many people. But here's a guy, he don't understand God's plan. Now, I can talk about God's plan and signs and, you know, this God doing this, and people say, well, you're a Bible thumper, you're a fanatic, but somebody on the left, somebody that's a liberal, you know, they can talk about God's plan and destroying the GOP, and nobody thinks anything about that. Well, he wasn't the only actor to talk about Hurricane Isaac. There's another, an actress, her name is Ellen Barkin. I'd never heard of her before, but evidently she's got a new show coming out. It's called The New Normal, and it's featuring two homosexual men. They're fathering a child for a woman. I don't know that much about it, but Ellen Barkin is the grandmother of the girl that's having the baby by the two homosexual men, whatever. That's what it's about. But it's interesting. You know, that's called the New Normal. Well, that's her show coming out. And well, anyway, here's what she said about it. She hoped that the Tropical Storm Isaac would smash up the RNC in Tampa and drown all the delegates. Here's what she retweeted. Somebody tweeted this. Some of you know what that is, some may not. But anyway, social media, people follow these actors, actresses, and, you know, I guess they're a bunch of tweets. But anyway, she retweeted this. She said, "Come on, Isaac! Exclamation point. Wash every pro-life, anti-education, anti-woman, xenophobic." Xenophobic, by the way, that means to be afraid of strangers, to have unnecessary fear of foreigners. I guess that's talking about, you know, immigration in America. But anyway, wash every one of them, every xenophobic, gay bashing, racist SOB right into the ocean. And Ellen Barkin, you know, she says that about Hurricane Isaac. Now, you know, if a liberal says something like that, well, nobody pays any attention. That's no problem. But if a Bible-believing Christian businessman says that he believes in the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman, why, that causes a national uproar, boycotts, threats against, well, I'm talking about Chick-fil-A, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, the mayor of, what was it, Chicago, he comes out and says, "We don't want your kind in Chicago." Well, what kind is that? That's people that believe in the Bible, people who are Christians, people who operate their business on a biblical example of not being open on Sundays, people that believe in traditional marriage. Is that the kind that they do not want? Now, after that, on August 15th, after all that Chick-fil-A uproar and all that, you know, the mayor of Washington, Boston, Chicago, they come out against Chick-fil-A, and there's supposed to be a a kiss in at Chick-fil-A and all this kind of stuff, you know, and college campuses, they are trying to get Chick-fil-A off the campus. And so there's all this backlash against Chick-fil-A, which Chick-fil-A just took a stand for marriage. So the backlash is actually against marriage. This is mainly done by Christians, so the backlash also is against Christianity. You see what this is really all about. It's not about a chicken sandwich, but it's about what God says about marriage, whether we're going to accept it or whether we're going to reject it. Well, after all this flap up about Chick-fil-A, August 15th, a man walks into the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. This is a conservative, pro-family, pro-life organization that is based in Washington, D.C. This man walks into the Family Research Council. He has a gun. He has 50 rounds of ammunition. He has a backpack full of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. He charged the guard, or the guard charged him. He shot the guard. The guard tackled him. It ended up he didn't shoot anybody except the guard. Nobody was killed. But what he was going to do, and General Jerry Boykin, I heard him speak just a couple of Saturdays ago. He told about this. He was there in the building when this took place. But that man was going to go through and he was going to drop a Chick-fil-A sandwich beside every dead body. This man that did this, he was a volunteer at the D.C. Center for the LGBT community. That's the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community. So all this takes place, hardly a blip said about it, hardly anything said in the main news media. But this is where we are in this country. One side can spout out threats and hatred and all of this stuff, and the media says hardly anything about it. The other side says something, and they're made out to be, you know, the worst people in the world. But you get back to talking about Hurricane Isaac last week. Isaac in the Bible means laughter. You know, when God came to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was or Sarah was 90 years old, and God tells her that she's going to have a child, and the Bible says she laughed. And if you were 90 years old and God told you you were going to have a child, you might laugh too. I'm not throwing off on Sarah, but she laughed about it. Well, they named the baby that she did have, that God told her she was going to have, they named the child Isaac, which means laughter. That is why Isaac's name is Isaac. It means laughter. But Tropical Storm Isaac bypasses Florida, really doesn't do anything at the RNC convention, turns into a hurricane, and stalls there in the Gulf Coast for a couple of days until August 29th, when it hit New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi, all through there. I mean, there's been 600,000 people without power. 7 people have died. Whole communities evacuated. Hits on the exact day that Katrina hit 7 years earlier. Now, something that you may not know was supposed to take place in New Orleans beginning on August 29th. That is the very day that the nation's largest gay festival was set to begin. It's called Southern Decadence. It's took place every year since, I think, 1995. It may have had its roots starting back in the 1970s. But every year they have this festival. It has grown into the largest gay festival in America. It is mainly, now it is LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, but it's mainly gay men meet together. One source I read about that said that there would be crowds from 100,000 to 300,000 people every year come to celebrate Southern Decadence. The Decadence crowds generally exceed the crowds that come out at Mardi Gras. Most everybody knows about Mardi Gras, but Southern Decadence is even bigger than that. Gay males, they go to New Orleans. There's all kinds of stuff I would not recommend, and I did not go to the website I went to the tourist pages and just read little things about it, but I would not recommend searching this out. It's nudity, fornication, homosexuality on the streets, flaunted before, and what I read about it said that it was more so than even Mardi Gras. And so this is what was going to take place when Isaac hit New Orleans last Wednesday. You don't hear about that, of course, in the news. There have actually been three hurricanes that have caused southern decadence to be postponed or canceled altogether in the past 7 years. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina. In 2008, Hurricane Gustav. And in 2012, Hurricane Isaac. Yet the Bible says in Psalm 74:9, we see not our signs. I see something like that. I see, surely that's the hand of God trying to get our attention. But a lot of people would just say that I'm hateful, that I'm being mean, that I'm homophobic, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, in June, this past June, President Obama, and this happens every year, but he declared once again that June would be LGBT Pride Month. I went there. You can go to the government website, whitehousegov.com, I think it is, and read the official declarations. Well, in June, he declared that that would be LGBT Pride Month. Beginning in June is when we begin to have the worst drought in over 50 years in America. I've talked about this drought and how bad this is for our nation, and not just our nation, other nations in the world that depend upon the food that we produce right here in America. This has been the worst drought in over 50 years. Relief has finally come, but it's too late for most crops. The relief comes in the form of the remnants of Isaac, which means laughter. Psalms chapter number 2, if you read over there in the Bible, it says, the Lord shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Talking about those that rise up against the Lord, that mock and say, we will not have this man to rule over us. God, the Word of God says that the Lord will laugh. The Lord will Isaac over them, is what that is literally saying. And I'm not just picking or trying to pick a fight or anything with the homosexual, with anybody, really. I'm not homophobic about this thing or anything, but I believe that we as a nation ought to really look at what's going on in our country. Historically speaking, every nation that has ever accepted and promoted homosexuality has been destroyed. Go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Go back before that, and you'll find out that when God sent the flood upon the world, there was great wickedness in the world. You study about the history of Rome. There's been other nations. America has no special exemption from the judgment of God. And that's just one sin that our nation is involved in. There's abortion. There's how we're treating Israel. I might go into this a little bit more in the weeks ahead, our relationship with Israel and what's going on there. And that has, and I've talked about in the past, the impact of Genesis chapter number 12. God said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. This week, I'm going to especially be watching the DNC convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Some unique things of what's going on down there. They're going to open the convention up. Now, a Catholic priest wanted to open up in prayer, and they denied him. Instead of that, they're going to let the Muslims, they're going to have a two-hour prayer meeting before it ever opens up. Well, the Catholics, they fussed about that, and so they're going to let the Catholic priest come and have the closing prayer. But they're going to open up with a two-hour Muslim prayer down there in Charlotte. The DNC this week, they will be accepting homosexual marriage as their official platform. They are going to be promoting abortion. There's a lot of things going on in Charlotte this week. I'm very concerned for America. I'm very concerned for the leadership in our country. Both parties, not just the Democrats. I'm not picking. I am neither one. I'm not saying that God spared the RNC and all like that, but it does seem like he bypassed Tampa, Florida, and the hurricane. You know, it could have went anywhere. The Bible says in the book of Nahum, the Lord hath his way in the storm. But another thing that I'm very interested in, and I was going to talk about this mainly today, and that is today, as the DNC opens up their convention, the national debt of the United States of America hit $16 trillion. $16 trillion. That is so large, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, we hear these numbers, but I really don't think that it sets in on what that really means. But as a concerned American citizen, I do know what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 7, it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Debt, indebtedness, puts you in slavery. And so I'm very concerned about this. I was reading about it, studying about it. There was an article over the weekend in the Washington Times about the debt hitting $16 trillion and what that meant. And, you know, here's what our leadership is doing with it. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats, and the Democrats are blaming the Republicans. But neither one of them are really doing anything other than I'm going to do it like this. Can you name this sound? Here's what's being done about our national debt. Do you know what that's the sound of? That is the sound of a can being kicked down the road. That's all that's being done. $16 trillion. Dollars in debt, and each taxpayer, 140,000. When you woke up this morning, you didn't know it, but you're $140,000 in debt if you're an American taxpayer, and the leadership is doing nothing about this in this country. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Do you know we could apply that to America as well? We could say, O America, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. That's our only help. That's our only hope, is in the Lord. It's not in the Republicans. It's not in the Democrats. It's not in Mr. Obama. It's not in Mr. Romney. It's just going to be same old, kicking the can down the road. And so we ought to know today that our help is in the Lord, and in him alone. And so I hope that you have got something out of this study we've been doing in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 10. We're going to move on to something else next week, Lord willing. But I want to thank Noah for producing our kicking the can down the road sounds. We tried to find that, or you can tell about it.
We tried to find it online, but couldn't find one that we were satisfied with.
Plus it cost, didn't it?
Yeah, it was $1.60.
Well, we're not gonna spend $1.60. We had a empty can and a recording equipment right there, and so yeah, we took care of that. I appreciate that. That's from Noah's Sound Studio, kicking the can down the road. So Noah, if anybody wants to use that, they need to send you what? A couple of bucks, maybe?
Yeah. I'll just charge $1.
That's a deal. That's a deal. It was $1.60. So we did not steal that sound from anybody. That's where we are in America. We have to put a disclaimer out on kicking the can in the basement. Well, you know, it's either laugh or cry sometimes. And so I'm glad we can have a good laugh every once in a while. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 22 or 17 and 15, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So we're living in serious times, but if you know the Lord, you don't have to go to bed and roll and turn and drink Maalox and eat antacids. You can let the Lord be your high tower. You can let the Lord be your strength and know that he holds all the tomorrows in his hands. I praise his name for that. Thank you for listening in. Have a great week. and Noah's going to give you the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.